chapter 12. I'll just read through. This chapter describes creation of the Kumaras and others. I'll just read the English part, English translation. Prior to that, the kala or time, calculation of time from the atom has been described in the 11th chapter. And the 12th chapter is describing, Sri Maitreya said, O learned Vidura, so far I have explained to you the glories of the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His feature as Kala. Now you can hear from me about the creation of Brahma, the reservoir of all Vedic knowledge. Brahma first created nations, nascent engagements like self-deception, the sense of death, anger after frustration, the sense of false ownership, and the illusory bodily conception or forgetfulness of one's real identity. Seeing such a misleading creation as a sinful task, Brahma did not feel much pleasure in his activity, and therefore he purified himself by meditation on the personality of Godhead. Then he began another term of creation. In the beginning, Brahma created four great sages named Shanak, Shananda, Sanatan, and Sanat Kumar. All of them were unwilling to adopt materialistic activities because they were highly elevated due to their semens flowing upwards. Brahma spoke to his sons after generating them. My dear sons, he said, now generate progeny. But due to their being attached to Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they aimed at liberation and therefore they expressed their unwillingness. On the refusal of the sons to obey the order of his father, of their father, there was much anger generated in the mind of Brahma, which he tried to control and not express. Although he tried to curb his anger, it came out from between his eyebrows, and a child of mixed blue and red was immediately generated. After his birth, he began to cry, O destiny maker, teacher of the universe, kindly designate my name and place. The all-powerful Brahma, who was born from the lotus flower, pacified the boy with gentle words, accepting his request, and said, Do not cry, I shall certainly do as you desire. Thereafter Brahma said, O chief of the demigods, you shall be called by the name Rudra by all people, because you have so anxiously cried. My dear boy, you have already selected the following places for your residence. The heart, the senses, the air of life, the sky, the air, the fire, the water, the earth, the sun, the moon, and austerity. Lord Brahma said, My dear boy Rudra, you have 11 other names, Mannu, Manu, Mohinasha, Mahan, Shiva, Ritadhvaja, Ugrareta, Bhava, Kala, Bamdev, and Dhritabrata. O Rudra, you also have 11 wives called the Rudranis, and they are as follows, Dhi, Dhriti, Rasala, Uma, Niyut, Sarpi, Ila, Ambika, Iravati, Swadha, and Diksha. My dear boy, you may now accept all the names and place designated for you and your different wives. And since you are now one of the masters of the living entities, you may increase the population on a large scale. The most powerful Rudra whose bodily color was blue mixed with red, created many offspring exactly resembling him in features, strength, and furious nature. The sons and grandsons generated by Rudra were unlimited in number, and when they assembled together, they attempted to devour the entire universe. When Brahma, the father of the living entities, saw this, he became afraid of the situation. Brahma told Rudra, "O best among the demigods, there is no need for you to generate living entities of this nature. They have begun to devastate everything on all sides with the fiery flames from their eyes, and they have even attacked me. My dear son, you had better situate yourself in penance, which is auspicious for all living entities and which will bring all benediction upon you. By penance only shall you be able to create the universe as it was before. By penance only can one even approach the personality of Godhead, who is within the heart of every living entity, and at the same time beyond the reach of all senses." Sri Maitreya said, "Thus Rudra, having been ordered by Brahma, circumambulated his father, the master of the Vedas. Addressing him with words of assent, he entered the forest to perform austere penances." Brahma, who was empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thought of generating living entities and begot 10 sons for the extension of the generations. Marichi, Atri, Angira, Pulastha, Pulaha, Kratu, Bhrigu, Vasishtha, Daksha, and the 10th son, Narad, was thus born. Narad was born from the deliberation of Brahma, which is the best part of his body. Vasishtha was born from his breathing, Daksha from a thumb, Bhrigu from his touch, and Kratu from his hand. Pulastha was generated from his ears, Angira from the mouth, Atri from the eyes, Marichi from the mind, and Pulaha from the navel of Brahma. Religion was manifested from the breast of Brahma, wherein is seated the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan, and irreligion appeared from his back, where horrible death takes place for the living entity. Low and abominable activities from his anus, the source of all sins. Sage Kardama, husband of the great Devahuti, was manifested from the shadow of Brahma. Thus, all became manifested from either the body or the mind of Brahma. O Vidura, we have heard that Brahma had a daughter named Bak, which was born from his body, and who attracted his mind towards sex, although she was not sexually inclined towards him. Thus, finding their father so deluded in an act of immorality, the sages, headed by Marichi, all sons of Brahma, spoke as follows with great respect. O father, this performance in which you are endeavoring to complicate yourself was never attempted by any other Brahma, nor by anyone else, nor by you in previous kalpas, nor will anyone dare to attempt it in the future. You are the supreme being in the universe, so how is it that you want to have sex with your daughter and cannot control your desire? Even though you are the most powerful being, this act does not suit you because your character is followed for the spiritual improvement by people in general. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the Personality of Godhead, who by his own effulgence, while situated in himself, has manifested this cosmos. May he also protect religion for all goodness. The father of Prajapatis, Brahma, thus seeing all his Prajapati sons speaking in that way, became very much ashamed and at once gave up his body he had accepted. Later that body appeared in all directions as the dangerous fog in darkness. Once upon a time, when Brahma was thinking of how to create the worlds as in the past millennium, the four Vedas, which contained all varieties of knowledge, became manifested from his four mouths. The four kinds of paraphernalia for conducting the fire sacrifice became manifest: the performer, the chanter, the offerer, the fire, the action of performed in terms of supplementary Vedas. Also the four principles of religion: truth, austerity, mercy and cleanliness. And the duties of the four social orders all became manifested. Vidura said, O great sage, whose only wealth is penance, kindly explain to me how and with whose help Brahma established the Vedic knowledge which emanated from his mouth. Maitreya said, beginning from the front face of Brahma, gradually the four Vedas, Rig, Yajur, Sham and Atharva, became manifested. Therefore Vedic hymns, which had not been pronounced before, priestly rituals, the subject matter of recitation and transcendental activities were all established one after another. He also created the medical science, military art, musical art and architectural science, all from the Vedas. They all emanated one after another, beginning from the front face. Then he created the fifth Veda, the Puranas, the histories, from all his mouths, since he could see all the past, present and future. All the different varieties of fire sacrifices, Shodashi, Ukta, Purishi, Agnishtoma, Aptorayam, Aptorama, Atirata, Atiratra, Vajapeya and Gosheva became manifested from the eastern mouth of Brahma. Education, charity, penance and truth are said to be the four legs of religion. And to learn this, there are four orders of life with different classifications of castes according to vocation. Brahma created all this in systematic order. So, in this way, this chapter describes the creation and it goes on. So, in this way, we can see that Srimad Bhagavatam gives the perfect understanding of creation, the scientific, absolutely scientific understanding of creation. It is unfortunate that people today are not accepting these informations that have been so precisely and so scientifically presented in the Vedic literatures, especially in Srimad Bhagavatam. They are trying to speculate all kinds of things, and their speculation is based on only one principle, that is, everything came out of matter. Matter is the origin of everything. But when we approach the Vedic scriptures, then we can see that it is not just matter. This creation is a combination of two things. Especially the conscious creation is a combination of spirit and matter. And it is the spirit that is, or the soul, the spiritual spark, that is actually causing the bodies to become alive. So we can see, like, it's common sense. There are living bodies and inert bodies. So what's the difference between living bodies and inert bodies? The inert bodies don't have the soul, and living bodies have the soul. living bodies are the bodies that has soul in them. And the bodies that do not have the presence of a soul in them, they are inert. So this is the first thing that an intelligent man must try to understand. The difference between the living body and a dead body or an inert body. And then there'll be a natural conclusion. Actually, people in the past very readily accepted that. Any religion accepts this fact. Different religions may have their differences, but they all accept one fact, that the existence of soul and existence of God. Every religion has accepted the existence of God. Now, how they describe God, how they define God, whether God is a person, God is not a person, God is... So there, those differences may be there. But the acceptance of God is there in every religion. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam in that case is very unique. Is because Srimad Bhagavatam gives a very clear understanding of God. The Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, these are two most authentic scriptures giving informations about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who He is. Bhagavad Gita is spoken by God Himself. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the information of God by His devotees. Here, the information of God, information of creation, is being presented by Maitreya Rishi in this initial chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vidura met Maitreya after Krishna left this planet. Vidura met Maitreya Rishi. Actually, Vidura was informed by Uddhav that Krishna instructed Maitreya to instruct Vidura. And so Vidura went out in search of Maitreya and he found him in Haridwar. And there he sat down in front of him after offering obeisances to him and requested him to instruct on these signs. So we can see the relevance. Vidura was asking the question and Maitreya is answering. Vidura was asking about creation, how this creation came about. So Maitreya Rishi is giving the information about creation. And the understanding is very clear. The creation is a very simple understanding. It's a very authentic understanding. It's a factual understanding. The understanding is Garbhodakshai Vishnu was lying on the Garbha ocean, and from his navel came out this lotus. And on the lotus, Brahma was situated. So Brahma is the first created being in the universe, in this universe. In every universe there is a Brahma. And in every universe there is a Garbhodakshai Vishnu. Every universe has a Garbhodakshai Vishnu, and who is lying in Garbha ocean, or the ocean that was the water that was generated from his body and filled up half of the universe. And he lies in that universe, on the Garbha ocean, on the bed of Ananta Shesha. Ananta Shesha made the bed for Vishnu, Garbhodakshai Vishnu. Ananta Shesha is a snake, but he created the bed. And in this way he is floating on the Garbha ocean, and there Vishnu is lying. Vishnu is lying down. And then from the navel of Vishnu comes out this lotus. and Brahma is situated in that lotus. And Brahma also at the beginning did not have any understanding who he was. Brahma was wondering who he was. Who am I? Like Brahma's situation was like he kind of woke up and he found himself sitting in the Garbha ocean, sitting on the lotus that is on the Garbha ocean, and he didn't have any remembrance of the past. He didn't have any knowledge of who he was. There was no knowledge about the past, just he found himself sitting there. So Brahma was completely in anxiety, began to wonder, who am I? And then eventually Brahma received the instruction from within his heart. The Lord instructed him from within his heart. And that instruction came in the form of Gayatri. First instruction was to withdraw his senses and project it internally through the sound of the waves of the Garbha ocean, tapaha. And he meditated, withdrew his senses. And when he withdrew his senses internally, then he heard the sound of Omkar, Om. And he focused his mind on that sound. And from that sound he heard, it became even more defined. And it took the form of Gayatri. And he meditated on the Gayatri. And then the Lord and his abode, the spiritual sky, became revealed to Brahma. So in this way, Brahma, tene Brahma rida, adikavaye mujhan. Adikavi, Brahma, the original exalted thinker and knower, original wise personality, Brahma, received the knowledge by the mercy of the Lord, who revealed the knowledge in the heart of Brahma. Brahmarida, the transcendental knowledge, Brahma Gyan, appeared in the heart, Rida, of Brahma, Adikavi. And then Brahma became engaged in the activities. Came out the nations and the activities that are in nations. Lust, greed, anger, etc. And Brahma felt very disturbed about that. That these are not the things that should be generated. He was embarrassed that he produce such things. And then Brahma purified himself, purified his thoughts by meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is also another important thing we can see. The best way to purify ourselves is by remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Apavitra pavitrava sarvavasthangato piva jasmarit pundarikaksham Sabaiha Bhantara Suchi. The one who remembers the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes purified immediately, both internally and externally. So in this way, Brahma purified himself by meditating on Vasudeva, the Supreme Lord. And then Brahma produced 4 sons from his mind, the 4 Kumaras, Shanak, Shanatan, Sanandan and Sanat Kumar. And Brahma told them that, look, my boys, you help me in creation, procreate progeny. But because these children, the firstborns of from Brahma's mind, were attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they didn't want to become involved in mundane activities, materialistic affairs of procreation. And when they declined, Brahma became angry. But Brahma restrained his anger. But that anger came out from between his eyebrows. And that was Rudra. And Rudra wondered where he should stay and what his name was. And Brahma gave him the name. Since you have been crying, therefore your name will be Rudra. And your place will be, he gave different places. He gave the place heart of the living entities, the mind of the living entities, air, fire, sun god, directions, they are all the places that Rudra got. And Brahma told him to procreate. He gave him 11 wives. He told him that these 11 will be your wives. And Rudra started to procreate. He created sons and grandsons, but they all were like him in nature, destructive. And as a result of that, the whole, there was a great pandemonium. So then Brahma pacified, okay, you don't have to create. You rather take to austerity. So then Rudra retired in the forest to perform austerities. Then Brahma created the 10 sons again from his mind. Pulastha, Pulaha, Kratu, Angira, Marichi, Bhrigu, Vashishta, Daksha, and youngest one was Narada. So these 9 sons became engaged in procreation. But Narada was not interested in that. So Narada, Brahma didn't mind. Okay. The other sons are helping him. So the youngest one is not interested to help him. So fine, let him be. And in this way, the Prajapatis were created from Brahma's mind. And also Brahma's shadow, Kardama, was created. And also in this way, from Brahma's body also another kind of creation took place. And from Brahma's chest came Dharma, and from the back of Brahma came Adharma. And then also another set of creation which will be described later, which I didn't touch today, is from Brahma's body. From the right hand side of the body came Manu, and from the left hand side came Shatarupa. So Manu and Shatarupa are the first couple. And they are the Manu is the forefather of mankind. Because mankind was coming from Manu, they are the offsprings of Manu, therefore they are known as Manava. Therefore, mankind, Manava, comes from the word Manava or Manu. Manu's children are Manava. And they have been, that word has been shaped in different forms, different ways, like Manushya, Manush, Manava, Man, Man. So we can see the link. We all are coming from Manu. So in this way, a very scientific understanding of creation has been given. But because the people of today, because today's world is not accepting those descriptions, they are so confused, they do not know. And they have generated a philosophy that this life is everything. We are generated, we are produced out of matter. And we got this chance to enjoy. So just try to enjoy as much as possible. And at the time of death, everything will be finished. So why worry about piety and sin, good and bad action? There is no life afterwards. So enjoy as much as possible. And everyone is trying to enjoy as much as possible, and as a result of that, today's world has become so chaotic. There is only consideration, only fear is of law and police system. Law and order system is the only thing that is preventing man from becoming completely wild. But if we take the proper understanding that we will continue to exist, and as we are acting, there will be reactions of our actions, then people will automatically be concerned, oh, let me act in such a way that I do not suffer in future. We want enjoyment, so act in such a way that we will be able to enjoy. Real enjoyment comes from that. The result of good actions will generate good results. And this is how the human beings are meant to take advantage of this wonderful opportunity to fulfill the ultimate goal of their life. And what is the ultimate goal? Go back to the spiritual sky. We are spiritual beings, we came from the spiritual sky. So let us go back to the spiritual sky. Unless and until we do that, our existence will simply cause miseries and sufferings. So nobody wants to suffer. So let us make the final arrangement, the most effective arrangement to free ourselves from our suffering condition. We don't want to suffer. So let us get into a permanent situation of permanent joy. And that permanent joy will be achieved only when we become situated in our spiritual identity and go back to our original home, spiritual sky. And the way to make that arrangement is by developing our relationship with the Lord. By developing our loving relationship, or relationship that is based on love. And by doing that, we can very easily solve all the problems of our lives. Those who are intelligent, they'll take that course. Those who are not intelligent, they will invite more and more miseries for themselves. Very simple understanding that we can derive from the most wonderful Vedic scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna, does anybody have any question? Yes. Ostracized from the scientific and academic community. Yes, very true. Very true, because anyway, Mother Krishna Priya's question is that she just saw a documentary where the academics, whenever they even propose, not even accept, pronounce the name of God, but accept that there is an intelligent design behind the creation, then immediately they are blacklisted from the academic community. blacklisted and ostracized from the academic community and scientific community. Yeah, that is their agenda. You see, demons, what do they want to prove? The demons want to prove that God doesn't exist. So in this way we can see it has been a very systematic demoniac arrangement that this scientific community and modern education system has been designed to reject God. And it's very interesting to note how it actually happened gradually. You see, the early scientists believed in God. They all believed in God. And their scientific research and approach was to find out why things happen in a certain way. Like, for example, Newton's famous quest. Why does that, when he saw the apple falling, he questioned, why does the apple always fall? Why doesn't some apple go fly out? And as a result of that search, he found out the gravity. So it was his discovery. And so they were discovering various things and inventing things by taking advantage of nature's laws. And in this way, they eventually invented clock. And that was actually the turning point of the science. Clock was a big thing. You know, clock, invention of clock was something like a space travel those days. Because you could wind the clock and clock would move on itself. That's why you will notice, like in the medieval, all the medieval churches, such elaborate clock arrangement. Because that was the biggest thing happening at that time. Like, and if you go to Germany, you will see they have clocks, such huge arrangements. Like, when it strikes, you know, every hour, not even hour, half an hour, 15 minutes, then what happens, you know, the door opens up on, and the figures come out and they start dancing, those figures, and they start blowing their trumpets and instruments. A big spiel, big show, right? And every 15 minutes they have that thing happening. So you can, well, and this was done, you know, about 400 or 500 years ago. And so, I mean, this was the big thing, you know, and this was, anyway, so now that was a turning point, because the man saw that clock, you wind the clock and the clock moves by itself. So then they considered that creation is something like that. God has, it's a clockwork. Creation is a clockwork of God. He wound it up, and then he is not involved now. Right, he left. He is not involved. So that was kind of, you know, sending God in exile. The God has been now. He was, but now he is not. Yeah, he has gone somewhere. And then the next step was, God was murdered. God is now dead. And now, from God is dead to God doesn't exist. So you can see how gradually, you know, this has prevailed, this gradually, this, you know, atheistic culture prevailed in the human society. It's only a matter of recent past, few hundred years actually. that it happened. And now consider whose arrangement was that. Mr. Kali has been very, very active. So he got rid of God, and today, like even if you talk about God, you are not an agent of Mr. Kali. You can't be an agent of Mr. Kali and talk about God. We better watch out. So this is how demoniac the society has become. So now what we have to do? We have to bring back the real culture. Yes, Pallavi. In other yugas, generally, it went step by step. The first step was to approach the Vedas. Then the next step was the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. First of all, the Vedic knowledge was given by a bona fide spiritual master. One couldn't just take a book and start reading.
Right.
It was given by a bona fide spiritual master. So the bona fide spiritual master would guide the students. Like a qualified teacher, he would teach his students to from primary to secondary to high school, college, university, and so forth. Right? So, Vidura, sit down. Sit down. So we are talking about Vidura and Maitreya. You better listen carefully. So first, he will, like, the first part of the Vedic lesson is Karmakanda section. Then Karmakanda to Gyanakanda. Then Gyanakanda will come to the point of yoga, ultimately. Then yoga, through yoga, meditation, when one would achieve the perfection of samadhi, he will see the Lord in the heart. And then only he will come to the platform of devotion. Like consider Narad Muni in his previous life. He was meditating, Dhruva Maharaj, meditating through yoga. And when they achieved the perfection, they saw the Lord. And by seeing the Lord, they came to the platform of devotion. So in previous ages, it was a process of gradual development. But in this age, due to the critical situation of this age, a very special arrangement has been made. Direct bhakti. No more gradual. Bhakti has been awarded straight away. Okay, Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Lochan Prabhu, thank you. So, thank you for coming.